Where's a nerd when you need one? Oh, he's right here. Helping you gain the upper hand with your computer. Here is Benjamin Rockwell with Computer Talk Radio.
We've got tons in store for you on this week's Computer Talk Radio. Let's talk about, yes, listener questions. Allie asks me, how does Bluetooth work without Wi-Fi or cell service? Sophia, how do I stop my phone from listening and giving me ads? We also have a couple of different topics, too, that we're going to be covering. Price hike, that's coming up next. Consider talking to your carrier or provider for discounts and repricing. I'll go into all the details on that. On the scam series, scammers are using fake cell towers that fit into backpacks. On the IT Pro series, reflections in the moment about the H-1B visa fee that's hiked up to $100,000 per application. Wow. Dr. Doreen Galley and I are going to talk about Expo swag items. Steve Kesky is going to ask me how we got started with Computer Talk Radio. Mark is going to join us. Updated microphone and a review of the Audio-Technica EDU package. And Keith Emcedor and I are going to talk about Apple's latest problem. It's something called Scratchgate. All of that on this week's Computer Talk Radio. If you miss any of that, of course, you can check out the website at computertalkradio.com. There's a button there that says listen here. You can also reach out to me with your computer questions, your technology concerns, whatever they may be. Of course, you can phone me at 888-NERD. 888, that's 888-6373-888. If I don't answer, leave a message. Let's dive into the news. And Amazon ran into some problems with how they tricked people into signing up for Amazon Prime. Further, they messed up with how they made it really difficult for you to cancel after they did so. The Federal Trade Commission came after Amazon with a court case, and it started this week. Amazon, however, came forward and apparently moved to settle for a new record amount for the Federal Trade Commission. How much? $1 billion in civil damages alone. There's another $1.5 billion that's going to be paid back to consumers who were either unintentionally enrolled in Prime or deterred from canceling subscriptions. The consumer side, well, it's going to be an automatic refund to customers who met certain requirements and they've already been established, and it'll be a little over $50 a piece. This doesn't resolve all of the mess that Amazon is in with the Federal Trade Commission, but it starts down a very interesting road. Now, back in 2020, I covered the purchase of the Radio Shack brand name. I'll note that both Marty and I have worked at Radio Shack at a point in time much earlier in our careers. Now, I recall at the time back in 2020 that I thought it was kind of a foolish venture for a brand that had all but exited the minds of the public. At that time, I didn't expect to hear much about this idea. But since then, it seems that the SEC, the Securities and Exchange Commission, did some deep dives and they uncovered a Ponzi scheme to the tune of $112 million. Apparently, there were these two gentlemen living in Puerto Rico that were promising investors some high returns, some decent equity and dividends. But the reality was, none of the many brands involved had profits. The only persons profiting were those two guys in Puerto Rico, which siphoned off about $16 million. Some of the other big names involved were Dress Barn, Franklin Mint, Pier 1 Imports, and Steinmart. Hundreds of investors put cash into this, and it remains to be seen how this will all unfold for them. And out of this is a sad likelihood that Radio Shack will once again drift into obscurity. Now, last week's Meta Ray-Ban Display Glasses demo had some issues, and I mentioned this last week. After I reported this, and many others did as well, Meta came forward and their CTO, Andrew Bosworth, did what anyone else would do, say it was just a demo failure and not a product failure. Okay, in all honesty and fairness, it's a nuanced answer, but the explanation continued by explaining that the massive amount of smart glasses and tech that were present in the venue all heard the command, "Hey Meta, start live AI." And a massive amount of traffic hit the Wi-Fi, the cell services, the servers, with a real-world simulation of what is called a DDoS, or distributed denial of service attack. Breaking it down, it's like telling everyone to exit Disneyland immediately, jump in your cars, and dash on out. You're going to pack the limited streets, the exits, the highways, all due to this onslaught of vehicles. And that's what they did to themselves. This was also accompanied with a mention of a previously unseen bug for one of the parts as well. Now, I rank these explanations as truly plausible, concerning, but still very plausible. Now, the six-hour battery life, that still isn't thrilling me. Now, TikTok fans can note that there finally is a preliminary deal. It's been worked out with China, with ByteDance in the United States. It's going to move to an American investor group, and this new approach is currently being valued at $14 billion. This has been an ongoing saga for quite a while now. I mean, we're talking about the back into the previous administrations and things like that. And this is really not even complete yet. The news this week was actually more of a permission by the United States government to proceed with what has been a proposal that's been put forward. Along the way, this proposal does note that Oracle is going to take over security for the application. It's been hinted that Larry Ellison, co-founder of Oracle, as well as a number of other big names, Michael Dell was dropped as well, and these will all be involved. The finalization of this deal is actually slated for early next year, and yet it could fall apart any time before them. But it does reflect an increasingly optimistic situation for all of those who do love the social media platform of TikTok. I haven't been a big fan personally, but that's another story for another day. Next up, you know what? It's been a long time since we've talked about a new record-breaking car. And before I even dive into this, before I even tell you the record, I want to start this off with the manufacturer name, which most people are not aware of. BYD. Now, BYD is a Chinese multinational manufacturing conglomerate. In 2024, it actually made twice as many electric passenger vehicles as Tesla. Yes, that's huge. But that was actually last year. This is not the news that I'm covering here. They built a limited release hypercar. Hypercar is like that really expensive concept, that really big, fast, and this is the top 1% of the cream of the crop of supercars. And they took this guy. Again, limited release. They put it on a test track in Germany. And they set a new unofficial high-speed record. 308.33 miles per hour. All right. So this beats out the Bugatti Chiron Supersport 300 Plus by 4 miles an hour, which was set in 2019. Now, I did say unofficial high-speed record, right? Yes, this is the sticking point. To be official on this particular track, where they test out the cars, they have to do the record run in both directions. That is to account for wind speed and stuff like that. You know, that whole idea of, you know, going downhill, you know, you go faster, or with the wind with you, it's going to go a little bit better. Well, they did this only in one direction, so it doesn't fully count. What also needs to be kept in mind for everyone who's saying, ooh, I want one, you're going to have to save your money, because this isn't going to be cheap. We already know that this is going to be hugely expensive. Why? They're only making 30 of these. Now, BYD has been talking about trying to enter into the market here in the United States, not with this car, but with their other cars. But they are still very reluctant. They are doing quite well, beating out Tesla in Europe. And this week, I received an email about my Disney Plus account being hiked from $20 to a new $25 a month rate. This isn't limited just to me. Of course, most of us are going to see a steep price jump for Disney Plus. This follows a Netflix bump, and we're likely to see others examining their options as well. I mentioned this in the second segment of this week, and it will pay well for everyone to listen and consider raising your concerns if this price is too unworkable or whatever. I'm going to suggest an annual audit of all of your subscriptions, all of your fees, but that's for the next segment. Coming up next here on Computer Talk Radio.
Let's talk about on and off.
You mean like light switches?
Yeah, the original user interface device.
And you were there, right?
Hey, I'm not that old.
Yeah, you are. So on and off.
Yeah, only with no humans doing it, like...
But you and I both have our computers on CyberPower UPS systems.
Yeah, so we have power, but there's another on and off.
Oh, right. Online and offline.
You got it. Meaning another UPS at the cable modem and VoIP phone and Wi-Fi router.
And even a low-cost standby UPS can handle those. Better, of course, if it has AVR.
Right, so it doesn't have to hit the battery just because the line voltage drops.
Maybe it's a good time to mention the promo that saves $10 to $15. Details are at the CyberPower website.
And maybe you could put it on your website?
Oh, that's already done at ComputerTalkRadio.com.
You know, on and off, you take really good care of your listeners.
The website, ComputerTalkRadio.com, ComputerTalkRadio.com. That's how you can reach out to us. Scroll down to where it says contact us today, and I will get back to you with answers to your computer questions. You know what? Sometimes I'll ask you more questions. I'll ask you, hey, what kind of processor do you have or whatever? But I'll also address your technology concerns, whatever they may be. All right, so let's get into this next topic, and I will tell you that one of the things that I encountered this past month, just in the past couple of weeks, is an announcement from my cellular provider. And if you've listened to me before, if you've listened to me for a long time, you know who that is. I do not keep it a secret. However, because of what I'm going to talk about here, I'm going to not mention them, because everything I'm going to talk about from here on out in this particular segment applies to all of the cell providers. It applies to your cable company. It applies to a few different areas. And this is just helpful guidance for you. So let's go through this. And I got this message from them, and it was, well, we've bumped up your rates. What? You've bumped up my rates. And it went on to explain that how I'm a legacy customer, and I've been with them for 25 years, but unfortunately they've had to add on some more fees because my plan is no longer applicable and that we no longer do this plan. I have had this same message probably every year or two for 25 years. And each time they bump up my rates, each time they go through. This time, it was not an insignificant bump. It was, well, it went from $170 to just over $200, $30 a month. And you start looking at $360 a year? Wait a second. You know what? I know how to deal with this because I've dealt with this before, and this is what you need to know. First up, you do need to calm down, relax, take it easy. Do not do this call the moment you get this message. Do not react. Do not freak out. It's something you're going to have to just go through the process. It's an unfortunate process. You and I should not be having to deal with this, but we do. And so the first thing you do is you relax, set aside general. Okay, I'm going to tell you, set aside 90 minutes. It should take roughly about an hour. An hour. Oh, this is such a problem, but fine. You set aside an hour and, okay, essentially, yeah, $360, it's worth spending an hour. It's worth spending 90 minutes or, for many people, a number of hours. Again, an hour. You want to call the number for basically, and it will vary. There was an 800 number and they actually had it set up. We can call you back. Okay, great. Let's see how this works. I always try all of these different things, these different routes as they add them in. And it said, we'll call you back, sometime in the next 15 to 20 minutes. Just click here and okay, fine. So they answer, they give their name, we exchange information. And one of the things that I do, I stay calm, I stay relaxed, and I stay stern. Not rude, not obnoxious. I work with being firm and laying out the facts. And this is something that is something you go through. If you call them up and you're yelling and screaming, they'll say, good riddance, bye-bye. But if you stay calm and stern and say, look, this really isn't fair. I've been with you guys for 25 years. I have had great service with you. However, I can't justify you. You haven't justified this increase, this big, drastic increase in pricing here. We're talking a 15% hit. And that's just not fair to me. It's not fair that you should treat a customer like this. And I have to go through this process. We depending on who answers the phone, will experience a different level of minor pushback. Well, we can bump you down. The first price point that they put me at was, well, we can knock $10 off. No, that's not going to do it. You're still talking about bumping me up $20. And we went through these different layers of how to tweak this, how to adjust this. And it turned out that by removing some services that I actually didn't need and adjusting this with some layers of special discounts and whatever, I actually wound up, after all of the discussion, at a much lower rate. And when I say a lower rate, I actually wound up, because I had dropped some magic words. I dropped the names of their other competitors and what their other competitors were doing. They're saying, well, you know what? You get wonderful service with us and you've been with us for so long. What if we do this and we do that and we do this and we do that? And we wound up actually with just a little bit over, and let me have you sit down here. I went from $170 a month to just over $200 and like loose change. And instead, by doing this phone call, I'm at just over $133, maybe it was $134 a month. This is just by spending a little time. And you can do this, we can all do this, with any of these recurring fees, these different service providers. Now, some of them, you're going to be locked in. And yes, you can go through. And one of the things, if you get someone on the line that is, you're talking to them and you realize, hey, we've been spinning our wheels for half an hour and I'm not seeing any movement, you can always do this. And I didn't have to do this time. The person who was doing this was specializing in the idea of customer retention. And that's the key word I want you to know. Customer retention specialist. And all of the different groups that handle this, you know, whether we're talking, again, cell phone or internet providers and so forth, they have customer retention specialists. Now, you will get at times a discount for a short period of time, maybe 3 months or whatever. And in this case, I actually did wind up with an additional couple of months, 3 months of a special discount beyond the 134. My next bill is my next couple of bills, I think, are going to be right about $100 because they wanted to keep me happy. And the reality is, every company out there has customer retention specialists because they know what it takes to acquire another customer, and to keep them for 25 years is a lot. There's a ton of value in that. So go in there knowing what your worth is to them, knowing what your value is to them, and go in there with the idea of, again, being polite and patient all the way through. The second you lose your temper, you're going to lose the game. The second you blow your top, it all falls apart. But if you're respectful and calm, it'll work. And I tell you that knowing that a number of you are going to think about this and a couple of you are going to do it, but I want you to think about the cost that you are currently paying for whatever service providers that are out there that are providing you service. And I want you to think about, can I get this down to a reasonable level by spending an hour? And you probably can. This is Benjamin Rockwell. You're listening to Computer Talk Radio. I'll be back with more in just a moment.
Micro Center, home to all kinds of electronics and computer items, has over 20 locations across the country, and it's also available at microcenter.com. This is Benjamin Rockwell of Computer Talk Radio, and I live just a couple of miles away from my local Micro Center, and I've been shopping there for years. From Apple to Windows, they've got what you need. CPUs, got them. Screwdrivers and other tools, yep. Cables, televisions, scanners, projectors, cameras, they have it all. Micro Center is a place which fills your electronic needs. What are you looking for? Media centers, monitors, mice, MP3 players, media, modems, motherboards, memory? Those are just the M's. They aren't regional, but spread across our great land from Virginia to California. Each one is service and repair, in-store clinics, and business services, too. MicroCenter.com is their online store, a place where you can get your regular online ordering needs met. From the hobbyist to the professional, the brand name, or building it yourself, MicroCenter is your resource. Check out MicroCenter.com today. MicroCenter.com.
The website, ComputerTalkRadio.com, ComputerTalkRadio.com. That's one of the ways to reach out to us. Scroll down to where it says contact us today. We will answer your computer questions, your technology concerns, whatever they may be. Keith M. Sedor joins me now, and he is, of course, always talking to us about Apple products and what Apple is doing and whatever else. What do you have for us this week?
Well, Benjamin, I'd like to start by asking you a question.
Uh-oh.
Do you have a fence surrounding your yard?
I have a portion of my yard.
Okay. Do you have a gate?
We have multiple gates.
And so does Apple. How fascinating is that? I mean, back in the
day,
they've
got a little bit more land than I do, though.
Well, I'm sure that's probably very true.
Okay.
But back in the day, with one of the iPhones, iPhone had antenna gate. And that
Jobs famously
said, oh, well, you're holding it wrong. You've got to hold it a certain way.
Yeah. And then there was bend gate.
Then a few model years later, we had bend gate. And now, with certain colors of the iPhone 17 Pro series, we now have scratch gate.
I had a feeling that was where you were going.
And if I had the 17 Pro, Benjamin, I would have the blue one which apparently is very, very prone to scratching. And
how prone is it? I mean,
apparently you don't need to do a whole lot to really scratch the surface of the back of this phone.
Yeah.
And to damage the paint.
I understand that there were basically not only is it scratchable, but there were 0-day scratches coming. Basically, that means out of the box, I got a brand new phone. Wait, why is it scratched? Which is scary.
You literally would have to have the phone on within nanoseconds to avoid that, you know, to protect it. I mean, with my 15 Pro Max, I've got the ESR clear case with kickstand.
Mm-hmm.
So, because why would I get a blue phone if I didn't want the color to shine through? I mean, a black phone, I'd put a black case on, I'd be done with it. But I'm figuring if I got the 17 Pro Max, I would get it in blue because that's my color, because I certainly wouldn't get that garish orange color. And I would, you have a blue one too, don't you, on your 14?
Yeah. So it's pretty close to what I call computer talk radio blue, which is, you know, it's that power
blue. And that's
blue.
A good color blue.
Yeah.
That's a very good color blue. So I'm thinking that if I got a really cool color like the blue, then I would be getting a clear case like the ESR kickstand case to show off the color. And if I'm scratching all kinds of, you know, scratches into it with very little effort, even before I get the case on brand new out of the box, I am not going to be happy because here it is, Benjamin. I mean, let's talk about this for a second. This is no longer a little phone. This is a pocket computer, because if I got the 17 Pro Max, you know, I would go and max it out and get the 2 terabyte storage version. And that is a $1,999 phone.
Yeah.
$2,000 for a phone.
Well, and another $10 for the jeweler's gloves.
Exactly. And I'm over here expecting the thing to be impervious to scratches. And you're over here, Apple's having a problem. So I want to know.
Well, they resolved BendGate. I mean, I have seen a lot of stuff in regards to the 17. Tell me if I get this wrong. The 17 Air.
The Air does not have a numerical designation. It's just the iPhone Air.
Okay, and I've seen a couple of videos where they're really pushing it to the edge of, and it's still not bending or breaking, which is pretty impressive to me.
And the things I'm hearing about that from an engineering standpoint is that while it is a neat phone, you know, the internals are a little underpowered, but I mean, for the person
and
who
the
would
battery
want
it, is very underpowered. Yeah.
Yeah. But the person who would want it, it would be like for the little old lady who just wants to talk on the phone, send a text and maybe take the occasional casual picture, you know, not using the camera system for
user,
what.
Yeah,
exactly. But one of the things I'm hearing from a lot of people in the engineering community is that they brought this particular model, the iPhone Air, to market more as an engineering test so that they can bring out a foldable phone to compete with Samsung's foldable phones in the next few years. And that's why they wanted to have a phone this thin, you know, before they came out with a foldable one.
But we've been hearing the foldable for what, since the 8 came out?
That's true.
7,
and
somewhere in there.
And we don't engage in rumor and speculation.
Yeah.
But when I start hearing credible things like this is a precursor to that as an engineering test, that's actually pretty interesting. Mm. You know, anybody can say, oh, they're going to do a thing, and then we don't know whether they do a thing or not until they actually do it. But when they start talking about it from an engineering perspective, this is a precursor too, and they're testing it this way because, then it starts to make a little bit of sense.
Yeah.
But I'm less concerned about that right now. And I want to know, for somebody who gets one of these phones and they scratch the heck out of it, what are they going to do? Are they going to replace it with another phone that scratches just as easily? Or are they going to go back and revamp their manufacturing process for painting this particular chassis? And then anybody who got a phone that scratched easily, they'll be eligible to replace it. What do you think Apple might do here, Benjamin?
I got no clue. Apple seems to be very, well, okay, from my experience, what I've seen, they seem to be very, very much on the side of themselves versus the consumer, and more mm-hmm. so recently. And I don't know that enough people can make the case to say, we got all these scratches, you need to pay us. I think the Apple response will be, well, you should have put it in a case.
Even though a lot of people will say, I bought a case for it, and this happened in between the time I took it out of the box and on the way to the case.
I'm hearing you. I'm with you on it. I don't like it. And it's rather unfortunate.
Steve Jobs never used a case.
As for now, this is Benjamin Rockwell.
And I'm Keith M. Cedor.
You're listening to Computer Talk Radio. I'll be back with more in just a moment.
Hi, this is Benjamin Rockwell. Most of us use digital cameras nowadays, but what do we do with those old pictures and slides in the back of the closet? Well, let me tell you about Legacy Digital Productions. They specialize in taking your old memories on film, videotape, and slides and digitizing them to DVDs. If you have boxes of old slides, then you know they fade more and more each year. Let Legacy Digital scan them for you and stop the aging process dead in its tracks. You'll get beautiful 10-megapixel digital files, color-corrected and ready for printing. All this is done faster and cheaper than buying a film scanner and doing it yourself. Your files are then burned onto gold archival DVD discs where they will last for generations. Call right now, mention my name, Benjamin Rockwell, and receive a 30% discount on your order. Call toll-free 1-866-2-LEGACY. That's 1-866-2-LEGACY. And tell them Benjamin sent you. Your memories are priceless, so call 866-2-LEGACY now.
Marty Winston's out this week, so Mark Brownstein's guesting in again. And Mark, you have your hands on something that is very cool, and it is the Plod Note Pin. And you were saying there's a lot to really examine with this. Marty talked about this a while back. He talked about a lot of the features on it. But you've been putting this through its paces, actually using this as a practical tool. And I'd love to hear about this.
Okay. Then we've talked NotePen. The NotePen is an interesting device. It's got a magnet that hooks it up to other devices. You've got a lanyard you can use. You can stick it to your pocket. I couldn't use those things. I've got a pacemaker. I don't want to put the magnet up against the pacemaker.
Yeah.
So what do? It comes with a wristband. I put it on my wrist. It's ready to use. And I think it works better than a lanyard or thing in the pocket would, because you can press the button to turn the mic on and off. And you know you press it. And you can look at it and see that the microphone, the red light, is working. Okay. And I've had this for a few months. It's been useful to me. It's not the greatest thing with the AI, but it works really well. What I do when I speak to somebody on the phone, it's an important call. I type my notes, but I can't always type as quickly as I want to. I use this thing as a backup. So it records, I can have it transcribed. And if there's a problem with what I recorded on the keyboard, I can go back and either read it or play the sound back and catch what I missed. It's really helpful. And what's even more helpful, go ahead.
I like that. You know, I do the same thing. I've done the same thing, typing my notes for 30 plus years whenever I'm talking to someone. And it helps me keep track of what things people said, different ideas that I've got going on in my head for asking questions or for looking at later on down the line. It is a great thing to do.
When I was a bureau chief at a magazine, the first thing I did is I brought a tape recorder with me and I put the recorder down and everyone froze up and they gave me an hour worth of tape. And to use that tape, I'd have to type it up anyway. 3 hours or so for a 1 hour tape. It made no sense. With a Plod AI note pen, it's already transcribed. Mostly, most of the time, it's pretty good. And if I have a problem, I can see what it is that I said. None of this 3 hour stuff. I could see what I said and type it in. And another nice thing about this, I can take an AI program that's built in, mm-hmm. and it would summarize notes. And most important to me, it would give me a to-do list. Okay. For me, to-do lists are awful. I get these things.
Yes.
I maybe read through and correct what I've transcribed. And at the end, I kind of forget to take track of what I'm supposed to do. So having a to-do list automatically generated is a real help.
So one of the questions that popped into my head just a moment ago, now it catches your voice. Does it, if you were in a room with somebody having a conversation with them, does it catch their voice? Does it separate and know, hey, this is Mark and this is whoever Mark was talking to, stuff like that?
Yes, it does. It can record the way it records phone calls. You put the phone on speakerphone and you put the note pen next to it. Just keep it on my wrist. And some of the software will determine who it is and indicate who's speaking. Not always accurate. But okay. It can tell. So if you were in a room full of people, I don't know how well it would do. But if it's just you and me talking, it wouldn't have too much of a problem. Okay. And it does record. If you want, it'll record a meeting. You stick it on the table. You keep it on your wrist. It works, I think, 30 feet. So if they're around a fair-sized conference table, you'll get that. It'll know who's doing it. It's useful.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I've actually started to enjoy when working with Microsoft Teams. That's the company that I work for. That is the software of choice that they use for instant messaging and meetings and stuff like that. But for the longest time, I've been using their subtitling. It automatically picks up what everybody's saying, and then it gives you the subtitles, which is a good reference point. Oh, hey, somebody said a series of numbers. They gave out a phone number, for instance. So you can jot that down without having to panic. But then they've gone to the next level. So there's transcriptions and Teams now, if you have Copilot, it will actually give you the option to start asking open-ended questions about the entire conversation. AI is going in a very interesting direction. So this particular device from Plaud, Plaud, is, you know, it's a sign, I think, of the future that we're looking at.
Yeah. And the future is an interesting one. If you understand AI is for certain things and not for photographs of people with six fingers.
Yes. That is definitely one of the things that I look at. I'm like, actually, a lot of the things, there's like the high, the impossibly high contrast, the little weird nuances throughout. I think it's weird. We're all getting better at recognizing AI images, even as it's getting better with those AI images.
I don't know. I guess, you know, if we put a horse's head under somebody's face, we'd know that it's not him. Or we put a person's face on top of a horse, we'd know it's a manufactured image.
Oh, yeah. But definitely.
It's hard to tell sometimes.
Yeah. As for now, this is Benjamin Rockwell. That's Mark Brownstein. You're listening to Computer Talk Radio. I'll be back with more in just a moment. Years ago, I found a web hosting company that fit my needs as a computer nerd, as a radio show host, and just a normal person. Recently, though, it was clear to me that it was time to upgrade, but I had a choice between my old plan and the new one at 7 times the cost. It was that awkward point where I could choose between a sip of water or being dunked in a pool. I searched around, comparing the many options for someone like me. After searching around for 3 weeks, there it was, SiteGround. In proper fashion, I tested their customer service, their knowledge, and their willingness to do things the right way. The site ground salesman made sure that I didn't overbuy and get a 50-gallon bucket when a 32-ounce soda would do. These guys know WordPress, Joomla, and regular standard websites. These guys at SiteGround are awesome. SiteGround.com. Site, S-I-T-E, ground.com. The bad guys are out to get us. They're out to get you, me, and everybody they can, and they will constantly use technology in brand new ways, or even in this case, ways that have existed for a while but are just coming to light in the public sector. And this is something that I had known that it was technologically, there was a capability to do this, but I hadn't realized that there were a lot of them. And what this is that in the whole system of mobile carriers, they have gotten better and better at detecting and blocking scam texts. They have gotten in the way of a lot of the people who are committing fraud by saying, yeah, we recognize this as spam, or we recognize this as a fraud. We recognize this particular number. We recognize this particular route the message is getting through, and we're going to block that off. But it's a big, huge game of whack-a-mole. And in response to this, scammers have developed something called SMS blasters. And what is this? This is a backpack-sized device that actually tricks your smartphone into thinking that it's connecting up to what should be a legitimate cell tower. And it gets in there, and it gets in the way, and it performs this kind of man-in-the-middle attack. What is a man-in-the-middle? Well, it's intercepting the signal, and it's passing it along, and then the other part of the signal comes back, and it forwards it back to your phone. So it's operating there in between. So it can start going through, and it can start detecting all of the different cell phones in the radius. And in this case, it's roughly a little bit more than half a mile. And they can utilize one of these to send out SMS messages to everybody within that radius. I want you to think about this. You go into a more populated area, you might have to worry about this a little bit more than if you live off in a rural area. But this can still occur, and they can intercept all of these different instructions that are going back and forth. And one of the things that they're doing is they are instructing the phones. When you connect up your phone to this, it actually says, you know, we need you to drop to an older, less secure mobile protocol, and we can then send the information to you that we want to send to you, the bad guys are wanting to send. And they send these messages. I guess the biggest takeaway that I want everybody to be aware of, I mean, the cell phone companies, the law enforcement out there, they're going to be working to stop this, to find it and get rid of it. But in the meantime, you need to keep up your guard. You need to realize that every text message that comes into you has a potential suspect nature to it. Every text message that comes in, and this is something I've preached for ages. If you don't recognize the number, you don't recognize who's sending it to you, don't even engage. Just disconnect from the conversation. You can report as spam if you want, report as junk, however it is on your particular phone, and then just move on with your life. This is Benjamin Rockwell. You're listening to Computer Talk Radio.
Let me tell you about The Radio Factory, an exciting new venue for talk radio. It's the internet, the wave of the present. My name is Benjamin Rockwell, and I'm the host of a syndicated radio program, Computer Talk Radio. So I know the internet is here and now. Many of the hosts at theradiofactory.com have their own podcasts or radio shows across the country. But many people like the comfort of listening to their own special radio show at a specific time and day, much like we watch live television. The internet, as you're probably aware, is a powerful tool that allows The Radio Factory to deliver unique programming with far more variety than the windbags who are simply about contriving up viewpoints to get you riled up. Additionally, you'll find that many of the programs are shorter, giving more information in less time. Stick with theradiofactory.com and see how it evolves to keep you entertained, interested, informed, and above all, intelligent. After all, the Radio Factory motto is building your intelligence one talk show at a time. TheRadioFactory.com.
Yeah, he's our favorite nerd. Translating technobabble to English, your translation expert, Benjamin Rockwell, is here with Computer Talk Radio.
We are halfway through this week's Computer Talk Radio. The website, computertalkradio.com, computertalkradio.com. We keep notes up there. The news articles are up there. You can also reach out to us if you've got computer questions, technology concerns, whatever they may be. I will seek to answer them. Of course, you can phone me toll-free, 888-NERD. 888, that's 888-6373-888. We are radio's broadest look at computers, technology, and how they impact our lives. Steve, what do you have for us this week?
I got an email, and somebody asked me, why do this podcast? Now, I didn't start it. You did. I just come along afterwards. So I'm passing this on to you.
Okay, why did I start? Well, this was a radio show before it was a podcast.
Yeah.
And it still is a radio show. We're on a number of stations scattered across the country. And why did I start doing this? Part of it was, so I went to college for radio and television broadcasting. And along the way, I got rather disillusioned in the concept of broadcast radio. A lot of the idea back then was you would go to a radio station in the middle of nowhere. East Podunk, Idaho was the reference that was given. Not Podunk. East Podunk.
Yes.
And you would have to go there and you would work for pennies and you would then have to move to another station 6 months later. Then another one and then another one. And you'd have to climb the ladder and keep on going through that. And I said, well, I am not fond of the idea of traveling across the country from job to job, from town to town, partially referencing, of course, the age-old TV show WKRP in Cincinnati.
Yeah,
that was from the theme song. So I went along and tried to find where I was going to fit in. I accidentally found myself working as a field tech. Now, I had sold computers prior to that point, and I had done a lot of work on computers on my own computer. And this is right there. This is back in 1989. I started my BBS, bulletin board system, which was, for those listening, that was you set up your computer, and it has a modem in it. And people would dial into your computer, leave messages for you and a bunch of other people.
Yeah.
And over the years, the computers started talking to each other and we could send email from our system off to others and so forth and so on. But then somebody said, hey, you really know computers well enough to be a field tech.
Okay. We know you're a weirdo, but go on.
Yeah. So that was my first foray into the world of being a IT professional. And from there, I continued on and I developed a consultancy and worked for a number of different clients along the way.
Now we know why you're really out there in left field.
And this was including with my day job.
Yeah.
So from there, along the way, I wound up picking up a client from another client who was also a good friend. And what happened was the first time I was out there, I fixed their file server that was in their home. And then the next time I did some more stuff in regards to their networking within their home. And the following time they said, well, hey, we're going to need your services a little bit more. We would like you to sign a non-disclosure agreement and a contract, and we're going to help get this guy here syndicated. Okay. Well, we had along the way discussed my background in radio and television. They knew I was really good with computers. So we went forward with this particular person. I'm not going to name him. He's actually since passed away. But we tried to get him syndicated. And it was a rough thing with that. The reason for that was... this show, if you listen to it long enough, you'll notice that every single segment has a very specific timing. It is exact. It is always going to be, for instance, this segment right here is from the start of the bumper to the end of the bumper is 11 minutes precisely. And that's how you syndicate radio. And the gentleman I was working with, he struggled with that concept, and I'm being very nice about that. he was a local show host, and if he went a few seconds over, it didn't matter. If he went a minute over, they'd figure it out. But you can't do that day after day.
No.
He actually, within about 3 weeks of our setting up for his syndicated show, they looked at me and they said, he's not working out. You know how to do this. Run with it.
Yeah.
Huh? What? Me? And they gave me a sidekick to work alongside of, and he actually had a lot of experience in radio, very successful with the syndicated concepts. So I moved forward with him, and that was 17 and a half years ago, and I've been going strong ever since. We don't do any repeats. We don't, I do cover topics over again, always with a different spin, a different approach to it, because there are certain topics that are timeless. And there are certain topics which still need some coverage as we move along. So
that's where I come in. I'm timeless.
Yes, yes. along the way, probably I'm going to say a few years into it is when podcasts actually started to take off. And I did what everybody else did in radio, at least the smart ones at the time.
Yeah.
And so it ventured off into the podcast realm as well. And I have a number of people who listen to this via podcast, a number of people who are listening to this via broadcast. And for me, it's been 17 and a half years of a very fun ride. I've met a lot of very interesting people along the way, and it's still a hobby for me. It would take a lot for me to get to the point where I would give up my day job for this, but it's still fun.
Yes.
It's still exciting. And
then I came along and you just, went totally berserk.
Yes, yes. I tore all of my hair out. I said, "Oh, Mark, I can't handle it." No, I'm only kidding.
Yeah.
So that's been kind of the journey along the way.
And along the way, he got introduced to me and figured out that I have been around for a long time.
Yes, yes.
And so he said, I'm going to try to pick your brains a little.
Yes.
Little?
Yeah. You've been on the show now for 10 years or so at this point.
I think it's closer to about 11 or 12.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah. Yeah, you started before Keith started.
Yeah.
And he's actually at 11 years right now.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It's definitely fun. I get to meet a lot of people. I already said that. And talk about something that I'm passionate about, which is technology. Tempered, to some extent. There are times where I go, look at tech, and I go, no, that's scary. No, that's not a direction we should go in.
No.
But other times, I will admit,
yes,
the little kid inside of me goes, yes, this is so cool.
Yeah, and then he looks at me, and I said, well, this is what the subject is. He said, well, I don't know.
So there's a lot more to that story, but
yeah.
Only 11 minutes to fit it in. As for now, this is Benjamin Rockwell. That's Steve Keske. You're listening to Computer Talk Radio. I'll be back with more in just a moment. You have a couple of those new carbon open frame racks from CyberPower, right?
Yeah, I love them. I configured a 25U to 40 inches deep, about twice as deep as a regular rack, and put more than a dozen peripherals in it.
You know, I saw your article about it. I can't believe it's not clutter.
And my 45U carbon rack, that's also 40 inches deep, will hold a ton of networking and control systems, the network video recorder.
Holy screwdriver, rack man!
You're getting one of their gorgeous enclosed racks soon.
Oh yeah, the 24U. Bigger than their wall mount carbon racks, but smaller than their tall boy.
Did you see what's happening with carbon on the CyberPower website?
Oh yeah, the promo. 10% off all their racks and rack accessories through the end of September. I put a link up at ComputerTalkRadio.com. ComputerTalkRadio.com. The phone number, 888-NERD, 888, that's 888-6373-888. Dr. Doreen Galley joins me now, and Doreen, you know, we've been talking about a number of these expos. We have been having a lot of fun. I don't get a chance to get to all of these. But one of the things that we got into a side conversation just a few weeks ago in regards to some of the swag that you get at these expos. And I thought it'd be great to talk about this. I thought, you know, there's all of these different things that you and I, we go around to these booths, and the vendors have stuff. Even the expo will sometimes have swag. Mm-hmm. What is probably one of the more interesting things that you've come across as far as swag?
Oh, swag. More interesting, unusual. Well, I did get a jigsaw puzzle last week.
A jigsaw puzzle? Okay.
That was interesting. Sometimes there will be 3D puzzles, lots of stress balls.
Okay. Oh, yes. Tons of those. Yes.
First aid kits. You walk a lot in Vegas.
Yes, that's a must have. Yes.
Band-aids, mm-hmm, yeah, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, ointment. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they'll have alternative first aid kits with Tylenol and Alka-Seltzers in case you ate too much and such in Vegas or stayed up having too many business meetings. So that happens.
Yeah.
Sunglasses are always fun. Admittedly, I like to save those for Halloween.
Yes.
I get so many of them. It's a great giveaway to give that works even if they have food allergies.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah.
Sunglasses with UV protection.
It's funny you bring up food because like all of these booths, they will have food behind their candy and just.
Yes.
Yes. And
just don't pop popcorn, please. There's like 5 to 15% of the population that gets inflammation in their brain and gets airheaded lightheaded from popcorn. And it's not just serving it, they're popping it so it blasts into the air. It's worse than a baking cookie.
The popcorn oil aerosolizes. Yeah. Oh man, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Please, please don't do that. Don't do that. You know, the cookies, I mean, the gluten still give me a headache, but, you know, at least you're smelling something nice. Yeah. It's not quite as harmful as the popcorn. But one of the more interesting things that I had gotten once was a blue light container. So blue light.
The UV.
So it's a container, but it had a 3D space. So you could put your phone in it. Mm-hmm, you could put your watch or your jewelry. Yeah. You know, you could fit something you could hold in both your hands, basically, could fit in it. So that was kind of nice. I got a cooler once, which living in Vegas, too many coolers. So that was kind of nice.
How big was the cooler? I mean, are we talking like a sandwich cooler?
A lunch cooler. Yeah, with nice insulation and everything. It's very handy. We use it when you go to the grocery store here in Vegas, because when you go to pick up meat and it's 115 on an extreme heat day, you need to have a cooler to bring your meat safely home. It's just a wise.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I
mean, that trunk gets pretty hot while you're in the store. So at least we do that, but maybe we're just overly sensitive.
Yeah.
Obviously, more coolies than you could imagine.
Yes.
T-shirts.
Tons of t-shirts. I used to take a lot of those. I stopped doing it because I don't wear t-shirts normally. I'll wear an undershirt. Yes, I wear an undershirt constantly, but the all of the writing on the front of it isn't going to make any difference because I wear shirts over it.
Yeah. Well, they have different materials. Some are nicer than others.
Yes.
Some have athletic fit. Some have so much plastic writing on the outside that if you wear it in the sun, it just sticks to your body.
Sure,
not good.
Sure. Or it melts to your outer shirt. Yeah.
Yeah. I used to love black t-shirts, but they're too hot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah.
No, no on the black.
Did you ever get any socks?
Oh, have I gotten socks?
Yeah. Okay.
To be candid, generally, I will ask for two pairs. And there's a very good reason.
Okay.
Because they always wear out uneven. And so I save the oddball sock. The other pair wears an uneven. Then it wears the two leftover socks together, and they tend to wear out together.
Very nice. Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, that one threw me. Now, okay. So I go to the Red Cross on a regular basis. I donate platelets and plasma, and I get tons of socks there. Now, my problem. Okay. So I wear a size 13 shoe. None of these freebie socks are ever going to fit me without completely cutting off all circulation to my toes.
I was going to say that was one thing, admittedly, that surprises me, is that considering, just to be forthright, I'm in tech, right?
Yeah.
So there's not as many women there, and our feet tend to be smaller than the guys, right?
Sure. I mean,
not even close. And so all the socks tend to fit me. Mm-hmm. But my husband?
Yeah.
No. Would they fit Benjamin here? Not at all. So that kind of surprises me for a tech conference that they're distributing socks that won't fit a lot of men, grown men, male adults.
And oddly enough, in the tech industry, there are not only is it male dominated, but there's actually a lot of your... a lot of the males are taller and larger in this industry. Yeah, occasionally there's normal size guys, but we just go in that direction. We're just big guys. Yeah,
there was one vendor at Identiverse that gave out Vans shoes. You know, the surfboard.
Oh yeah,
skateboard.
Wow, now that's
one of their customers, and it was a smaller boutique conference, and so they gave out.
That's a serious one. So yeah, wow, okay. You've got a little shoe sizer there, and I don't remember the technical name of it, but yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah. So that was a lot of fun.
You know, I'm going to throw another one in here, and this is kind of a funny one from CES. Now, I have all of the backpacks that they give out to the media badge holders. We're the only people who get them. It's, you know, they make a run of whatever it is, 6,000, 7,000 of these backpacks. And these are not your cheap backpacks. You know, I've gone to, I went to Mobile World Congress a number of years ago, and the bag that they gave me was this little, you know, this little flimsy thing that, you know, it was had a drawstring on it. Now, the CES bag is... It is more solid than the ones that they sell to the rest of the, you know, all of the buyers, the purchasers from Best Buy and all of that. I actually had somebody offer me $500 once for one of these bags. I was like, that sounds that sounds very tempting. I really like my bag. And then my security brain just started to kick off. Why would he want this so badly? He's going to pay that much. Because we as media, you know this, we can walk in past security. We just go, hey, we got this little tag here that says, you know, we're media. And they go, oh, come on through.
We do get inspected first on the first day, and we're highly credentialed and verified before we even get our badge. So that's why we get, and we have to carry equipment.
Yeah, you know, yeah.
How do you record and capture and produce without equipment?
Sure.
You would have loved 2024 because they changed their logo. So in 2024, they would let you pick up as many of the, and they had all the previous bags there to empty their stock.
Yeah.
So I did get a few extra in 2024, but in 2025, they had zero because they didn't make them in their new logo yet. So we will see what 2026 brings.
Oh, I know. Man. Well, I'll be prepared. I do have an expensive one. Hey, we've got a number of expos coming up. Give us an idea of what we're going to be talking about in the next few weeks.
Tech Expo next week, September 29th to October 1st. Videos dropping on the channel. Global Gaming Expo, October 6th to the 9th. Mobile World Congress, October 14th to the 15th. Yeah. Retail Supply Chain Expo, October 15th to the 16th. Money 2020, the 26th to the 29th. And Put Data First, the 27th to the 29th. Then we hop in November with SEMA, CES next year, and Con Expo.
Oh, wow. Hey, website?
TBWAdvisors.com. This T for technical, B for business, W for whispers.
This is Benjamin Rockwell.
And this is Dr. Doreen Galley.
You're listening to Computer Talk Radio. I'll be back with more in just a moment.
Micro Center, home to all kinds of electronics and computer items, has over 20 locations across the country, and it's also available at microcenter.com. This is Benjamin Rockwell of Computer Talk Radio, and I live just a couple of miles away from my local Micro Center, and I've been shopping there for years. From Apple to Windows, they've got what you need. CPUs, got them. Screwdrivers and other tools, yep. Cables, televisions, scanners, projectors, cameras, they have it all. Micro Center is a place which fills your electronic needs. What are you looking for? Media centers, monitors, mice, MP3 players, media, modems, motherboards, memory? Those are just the M's. They aren't regional, but spread across our great land from Virginia to California. Each one is service and repair, in-store clinics, and business services, too. MicroCenter.com is their online store, a place where you can get your regular online ordering needs met. From the hobbyist to the professional, the brand name, or building it yourself, MicroCenter is your resource. Check out MicroCenter.com today. MicroCenter.com.
Sophia's question, how do I stop my phone from listening to me? Wow, it is something that we are presented with on a regular basis, all of us. Of course, Sophia reached out to me at computertalkradio.com, computertalkradio.com. You can do it too. Just scroll down to where it says contact us today. I will get back to you with answers to your computer questions and your technology concerns. Sophia's question, how do I stop my phone from listening to me? Wow, I am reminded of this quote from Philip K. Dick, and this is one of the more prolific science fiction authors over the course of the last century. He put out tons of novels and short stories, and you may recognize some of all of these names. Blade Runner, Total Recall, Minority Report, The Man in the High Castle. And he was also the first science fiction author to be included in the Library of America series. This is a big guy. And he said back in the day, I mean, we've got to understand, he died in 1982. And he said way back when, quote, "There will come a time when it isn't they're spying on me through my phone anymore. Eventually, it will be my phone is spying on me." Wow. You just start thinking about it. And we all say this. Our phone is spying on us. And we don't actually even attribute it to all of the different things that are going on within our phone. And let's get further into this. I mean, we've possibly experienced this. You may have noticed you mention a product once, and then all of a sudden you see a bunch of ads for this same product or its competitors. And we have had interesting conversations, Keith and I. We've talked about his car and my car. And when we've talked, mind you, I've got my headset on. All it hears is my voice. He's got his headset on. All it hears is his voice. And he'll talk about his cars, the cars that he drives. I'll talk about the cars that I drive. And all of a sudden, we'll see that uptick in the amount of ads that we get on, whether it's Google or we're over on Facebook or wherever, we see those ads popping up. And this is something that they've denied and then semi-admitted and then denied again and say, oh, we're not doing this anymore. And the reality is it keeps coming along. And we have mentioned very interesting products. And we have tested this out. And other people have tested this out. There is really no secret to this, as far as this being just another way into our lives. Now, how do we prevent this? How do we stop all of these different applications from listening to us? And it is far more difficult than you might imagine. I mean, yes, we can go in, we can disable the microphone access for any apps that don't need it. And I want you to think about this, and I want you to think about this very carefully, because a lot of these different companies are intertwined. So you've got to really go through everything. Do you ever use your microphone when you're on Facebook? Well, then turn it off. You've got a shopping app. You got your Amazon app. Turn that off. It doesn't need access to your microphone unless you regularly talk to it and say, hey, I need to order this, I need to order that. Think about all of these games. Why does any game need to have access to my microphone, my GPS location, anything that it's asking for? And all of the operating systems allow you to dial down this access. But I also want to warn you that access might return as updates come along. It might return when you get an update, and sometimes those updates, they don't allow the update to go ahead and turn that feature on again. You have to manually do it. But we're so anxious to get in there. We're so anxious to move through that we'll just accept whatever. We'll forget about it. I mean, I could tell you that you can go on out and you can buy a privacy-focused phone. You can get operating systems that have very strict permission controls, but the reality is most of us sit in one of two camps. We sit in Android or we sit in the iOS space, and there are strict permission controls, but we're still going to struggle with this. We're going to continue to go through this, and I want you to think about, do you have a microphone on your computer? Do you have a microphone that's active on your tablet or your laptop? Remember that any of these microphones, I'm sitting here, I've got an Amazon Alexa device that is it's just over an arm's reach from me right now, and it's listening. Now, it's supposed to only be listening for the wake word, and then it goes through the rest of it. But there are also things like Siri and Google Assistant and all of these different applications that are out there. And we can start thinking about things like voice-activated AI assistants, and people are using these more and more. You've got to turn these activations off. You've got to turn these microphones off. You've got to really start paying attention to this. And this is something that you're going to experience more and more of as we move down the line, as all of our devices, not only will they talk to each other, but even the proximity of it. If my, just as an example, I don't know for sure on this one, if my iPhone is in my house and it doesn't have access, I've turned off all of them, microphone features on all of the apps, but it catches it through my computer, my laptop, and any apps that I've got on there, well, it can say, let's start sending messages, ads to all of these different places. I will tell you that some ads are based on search history. They're not based on eavesdropping. They may be based off of some search that you've done before. They may be looking at, yes, a long time ago, Benjamin looked at this particular car, that particular car, and it may decide, hey, he hasn't seen any of these in a while. Let's go ahead and let's poke him again. I mean, in the past, we've said, you know, clear cookies, but that doesn't work anymore because so much of this is intertwined. So much of this, just a matter of, I could never connect any of these things up, never connect my iPhone to my computer, but it still knows because I'm on my Wi-Fi in my house. It knows that I'm a target for these ads, and we're going to see this getting far more worse in the coming years. This is Benjamin Rockwell. You're listening to Computer Talk Radio. I'll be back with more in just a moment.
Hey guys, this is Benny Rockwell. Most of us use video cameras nowadays, but what about those old movie films in the back of your closet? Well, let me tell you about Legacy Digital Productions. They specialize in taking your old memories on film, videotape, and slides and digitizing them to DVDs. Imagine Grandpa's old 8mm and 16mm films that are just sitting in a box getting old and fading away. Legacy Digital will clean and recondition those films, capture them digitally frame by frame, and then produce beautiful DVDs of your precious memories on long-lasting archive-quality discs. They don't use a projector, and your films can't be damaged in the process, the best available for families like yours. The final results are gorgeous. What better way to preserve those precious memories for future generations? Call right now, mention my name, Benny Rockwell, and receive a 30% discount on your order. Call toll-free 1-866-2-LEGACY. That's 1-866-2-LEGACY, 1-866-253-4229. And tell them Benny sent you. Your memories are priceless, so call 866-2-LEGACY now.
This is Benjamin Rockwell, and now it's time to get down to business. This is where we talk about computers, the workplace, the IT environment, and how some of the things that are out there will impact us, or do impact us. In this case, I do want to talk about something that happened just a matter of about a week ago. And this is a new proclamation that came from the White House, and it's titled Restriction on Entry of Certain Non-Immigrant Workers. Okay, the big thing that it boils down to is a $100,000 supplemental fee for any new H-1B visa petitions that have been filed on or after September 21st. Now, a lot of different people reacted right away. Oh, this is going to impact anybody who's going on vacation. They're going back home to the Middle East or to India or wherever it is that they were, wherever their family is for a vacation. No, it doesn't impact that. As a matter of fact, anybody who has an H-1B visa, anybody who's submitted a petition before that date, they're exempt from this particular fee, and they can continue to travel in and out of the United States under their existing visa status. What this does is it sets up kind of a different kind of framework than we've had for a little while, where we've had a lot of people coming in from offshore, and they have been coming in here and competing in some of the fields where, yes, there are high-priced people there. So we, of course, easily we can talk about information technology, but we can talk about the medical field, and we can talk about other specialists that are out there that maybe it's hard to find, but not necessarily impossible to find workers for this. And yes, there are a couple of things that are set up in this. For instance, there is an ability, permission, if you will, for case-by-case exemptions for people who we would bring them here because it's within our national interest. Specifically, it's called the National Interest Exception. And there is a bit of a proposed revision so that they can revamp how these petitions are selected. For instance, if there's an extreme demand and a low supply of particular workers, they could shift to specialized roles that are very hard to fill rather than going through simple lotteries. Now, from here, there's a lot to unpack. And I'm not going to go through all of the different things. There is going to likely be a reduced volume of new foreign hires into the United States. And various different folks are going to see this kind of impact. Mid-sized and startup companies, which have tighter budgets, may be especially constrained. This is of concern for me. I want everybody to be able to play on an even playing field as best we can. Large tech firms might actually just say, oh, that's fine. We'll absorb that fee. But smaller ones, that may be something that gets thrown off. We're also likely to see a bit more of a shifting to offshore or remote work models where people are actually working off in a foreign country and doing the work for here. That might be okay. That actually results in less of a drain on resources for, you know, having housing, having the office space and so forth. Now, at a previous location where I worked a few years ago, I was on a staff of about 100, and about 90 of those were already offshore, and 10 of them or so were located here in the United States, and I dealt with them, and I really enjoyed getting to know my coworkers and really interfacing with them, and that was really a good thing. We did see a lot of brilliant people that had great training in computers and servers and things like that, and that was good. We'll probably see more in the way of those people who remain offshore rather than coming here to the United States. And that is definitely a perfectly workable thing. A lot of companies have talked about, we're just going to expand our campuses outside of the United States as an alternate route to this. This does mean that some applicants here in the United States may have a little bit more of a competitive advantage when it comes to getting jobs. They may be able to get a little bit higher salary or wages, and this actually could do quite well for us here in the United States. This also does open up an interesting opportunity for people who are existing H-1B visa holders, because some of those who are already here in the United States, they've got their visa, they may be able to get a transfer petition together, which means, yes, employers can actually tap those existing visa holders rather than bringing new people over here. Now, I want to be clear, I'm not xenophobic. I'm not saying we need to keep people out of our country, but it does adjust some of these things, and how this is all going to unravel over the course of the coming months and years, who knows? We may see that this is great for us. We may see that this is rough. But for right now, this is what we've got. And it may not be as bad as what a lot of people are saying. And it may not be as good as what some of the others are saying. We just have to wait and see. As for now, this is Benjamin Rockwell. You're listening to Computer Talk Radio. I'll be back with more in just a moment. years ago, I found a web hosting company that fit my needs as a computer nerd, as a radio show host, and, well, a normal person. Recently, though, it became clear to me that it was time to upgrade. I had a choice between my old plan and the new one at 7 times the cost. It was that awkward point where I could choose between a sip of water or being dunked in a pool. I searched around, comparing the many options for someone like me. After looking for 3 weeks, there it was, SiteGround. In proper fashion, I tested their customer service, their knowledge, and their care, their willingness to do things the right way. The SiteGround salesman made sure that I didn't overbuy and get a 50-gallon bucket when all I needed was a 1-gallon bucket. The folks at SiteGround know WordPress, Joomla, and more. SiteGround.com, S-I-T-E, ground.com for your web hosting needs. SiteGround. Allie asked me a question. It's one of those that I get on a regular basis, actually. How does Bluetooth actually work without needing the internet or cell service? This is something that is, it has to do with the frequencies that they work on. All of these different things that we have with technology operate in different ways. So we have Wi-Fi, and that sits on the 2.4 and the 5 and the 6 gigahertz range. Bluetooth actually operates in the 2.4 gigahertz range, but it operates in a different way. It sends out these signals, much like Wi-Fi does, but it is actually not utilizing the same protocols or anything like that. See, Bluetooth is designed in a different way. It can allow for transfer of a large amount of information. It can allow for connections that do support internet connectivity. However, it is designed up front to be direct device to device. It's designed for setting up your headphones, your ear pods, or whatever Bluetooth earphones you might have, or headsets, to connect up to your smartphone or your computer. And all of these different ways that we connect up work completely differently. I want you to think of like Bluetooth being like a walkie-talkie for your device. It's not really anything more than just a short-range and self-sufficient way for connecting up. So you've got that situation where you've got very little power, very low energy that's involved, and very low range, 30 feet. And this is 30 feet that walls or any kind of interference can reduce that. And you may get better signal closer to it. You may get a better output as well. You may get a little bit more distance out of it. I know from my desk on down to my mailbox, I have signal all the way. I have signal Bluetooth throughout my house. But it drops off after that, right away. And that can be impacting. My Wi-Fi will stretch all the way through up to about, I think on the band I'm at, I think it stretches up over 1,000 feet. And this is all going to be impacting differently. It all works without connecting to the internet or to the cell service. This is because it's designed as a standalone system. It's designed so that you can do that connectivity there instead of out to the internet. It's quite efficient. It is localized, and it's great for keeping your tech in sync without relying on all of the other things that are out there. It moves that signal. The signal's completely moved out of the way, so you don't even get interference. Oh, hey, my Bluetooth headset's too close to the phone, and all of a sudden I don't have cell service, I don't have Wi-Fi service, whatever it is. It's designed like that. Think of it as like a frontage road to the highway. You've got the highway speeding along, it's got all kinds of traffic there, and the frontage road just has a couple of cars sitting over there. Not going quite as fast, not going quite as far, but it definitely works out well. This is Benjamin Rockwell. You're listening to Computer Talk Radio. We'll catch you next week.
Let me tell you about The Radio Factory, an exciting new venue for talk radio. It's the internet, the wave of the present. My name is Benjamin Rockwell, and I'm the host of a syndicated radio program, Computer Talk Radio, so I know the internet is here and now. Many of the hosts at theradiofactory.com have their own podcasts or radio shows across the country, but many people like the comfort of listening to their own special radio show at a specific time and day, much like we watch live television. The internet, as you're probably aware, is a powerful tool that allows The Radio Factory to deliver unique programming with far more variety than the windbags who are simply about contriving up viewpoints to get you riled up. Additionally, you'll find that many of the programs are shorter, giving more information in less time. Stick with TheRadioFactory.com and see how it evolves to keep you entertained, interested, informed, and above all, intelligent. After all, The Radio Factory motto is building your intelligence one talk show at a time. TheRadioFactory.com.